Last week, we covered the introductory part and the chapters 1 to 3 of the Book of Micah. And through our own readings during the week, we should know that the history of the politics, religions, economies, and the cultures of the society didn't really change much, and it was passed down from the era of the South Israel kings, all the way from Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, which was written from chapter 15 of the book Kings 2. We saw why God had to proclaim to the people that the day of the judgment is near, but the time of the prophet Micah was when politics collude with religion by money, judges were bribed to make unfair judgments, and priests and clerics preached for money, and prophets made prophecies just to earn money. During those times, the fake prophets still told the people that the generation is in God's peace, not in a disaster, which was told by prophet Micah, because they said that God is good and promises us blessings all the time. The times that prophets come and warns people are not the times of pain or despair. It is mostly the times of arrogance, where everything seems to be fine from outside. That's why when God warns them through the prophets, people often just ignore and even persecute the prophets. And the people were continuing to stick to their stubborn and arrogant way of life rather than believing in God and following the words of the Bible. So it was God's only choice to send the prophets to warn them about the future and the ends if they continue to live like it. This is why chapters 1 to 3 lists the sins of the people and criticizes their sinful acts and warns about the results of sinning. Then because all the promised nations and people come to an end from sinning and not following God, does that mean kingdom of God is also ended? And the answer is no, because that doesn't mean the end of God's kingdom. He still tells us his unchanging promises made for us and how he will continue to achieve everything he has promised. So if we look at chapters 4 and 5, it tells us the future of God's people and the results and the blessings of the people who still believe in God with all their faith and obey Him, even at the times where people don't trust God and live their own lives however they want. In chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, it tells us that God's kingdom we will enter after the day of the judgment, where people go up to God and listen to His words and values and live accordingly. It also tells us that all the people will live in peace, with love, where there's no war or any disputes or any fights. From verse 6 onwards, it tells us that the disobeying nations and people will eventually fall and become slaves and die, but people who still hold on to God and live like God's people, they will definitely recover from it. Even though there's one person who lives with faith, if the community and the society they are in is full of people with greed whose lives are driven by their own thoughts, that one person can easily fall into hardships and difficulties made by the majority, just like how North Israelites were taken as slaves and died after the invasion from Assyria. But because these faithful people are the ones who still live with faith, no matter of the situation and environment, for these people, it doesn't matter whether their life ends up hard or full of blessing, because God will take care of these people in any situation, whether it's good or bad, and He'll work through their life, use them to do God's work, and ensure them eternal life with God. These are the people who we call the left people. These left people will be the ones who will enjoy everything God had promised earlier. So chapter 4 verse 10 says, "In agony, daughter Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. You'll go to Babylon where you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies." All these prophecies listed in verse 6 and onwards are all achieved and proved by the history where South Judah is destroyed by Babylon and becomes the slaves, but then return to their own lands and be free from slavery after the Babylon was destroyed by Persia. So everything God has said before and promised has been achieved. The Israelites being free from slavery and returning to their home can only be explained as God's blessing and His grace, just like He saved them from Egypt before. When Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, they couldn't be independent with just their powers, so God intervened in the situation. He made impossible into possible. We can see from both Egypt case and this case that God saves us from hard times, even though it seems impossible, and He is the only one who can achieve all these miracles and blessings, only if we choose to follow God and listen to His words. So from chapter 4 verse 6 to chapter 5 verse 1, the Bible is telling us that people choose to think and live their own way, and they walk towards death, but God will achieve all the promises He had made with people who still chooses to live with faith no matter what. And in chapter 5, God explains how He will eventually complete His kingdom with the people living with faith, even though the nation is falling apart due to people who cannot believe and trust God. The South Judah and North Israel both are leading to fall of the nation and corruption, and at the end death due to their disobedience, although they were God's chosen people and nation before. However, through those faithful and obedient people, God will rebuild His nation in a small town in Bethlehem. Even though Jerusalem might be the center of all the countries where all the talented and intelligent people are found and come together to be educated and have more opportunities, if there are no one living by the Bible and believing God, that place just becomes worthless. So even though Bethlehem might be a small country town, if people believe in God and follow the rules and regulations set by God and live by God's words, God will use the land to build His kingdom. How many or how much human resources and manpower we have is not important. Just one person who will live by God's order and show faith will be the one used in God's kingdom, and He will achieve His promises through that person. So the precise place where Messiah, the descendant of King David, will be born was predicted in the Bible. Chapter 5 verse 2 says, "You are small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times." From this verse, "you are small among the clans of Judah" doesn't mean the size of the nation, but it represents the small number that live with faith. And Jesus didn't just carry out His missions because He was a Messiah and He was Jesus. He was able to carry out all His missions to give us salvation because He believed in God and obeyed God as well. So Jesus really shows us the life of obedience as God's people, and He's our examples to follow. Chapter 5 also talks about the left people. And the certain fact is that even though you live in faith and do good, it is hard to avoid all the wars and fights that people cause in the world where it's full of sin. But the left people, they don't blame the situations and environments. Instead, they don't compromise with the world and continue to live in faith, just like how Daniel did. So all the difficult times will just be used to train them to have more faith, and so that they're not so shifted by the environment or the situation they are put in, and become the faithful people, which the world won't be able to do anything to affect them at the end. So we'll be stronger with the right values and be able to be separated from the wrong values that are considered as culture in this society. And God promises that He will fight for us and recover us from any hardships if we continue to live with faith and obey His words. Chapter 5 is not about a new promise by God that He just made up. It is just reinforcing the promises He made earlier with Moses and showing the trustworthy God who will achieve everything He had promised. So it's a promise saying that He will achieve all the promises. So just live by God. The reason why these prophecies are said in chapters 4 to 5 is because it was certain that North Israel, nor South Judah, were wanting to return to God and live their sinful life. When we look at the history, the promises made with Adam was broken, the promises made with Noah wasn't kept, and the promises made with Abraham was continued to Moses, but the chosen people left that road and just ignored everything. The promise was still there for 140 years, from BC 722, where North Israelites were collapsing, and all the way till BC 586, where South Judah was falling apart as well. So during this period, there are times when the nation seems successful and powerful from outside, but we know that they were already on their way to their collapse without God. God was always trustful, but every time people break the promises through their disobedience, God still showed His trust and told us the results and the future of us with love. That's why through the prophets Micah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, God prepared new covenant and told us. This new promise or prophecies isn't about getting rid of everything God said before and making something totally new, but it's about promising that He will still achieve everything He promised with us, even if everyone gives up and decides to leave God. So things like the born of Messiah, the place where Messiah will be born, what kind of person He will be, and what duties He will carry out, was all passed on by the prophets through the Bible, and we know that this is all achieved by God. So 500 to 700 years after the prophecies were made, everything was achieved, and we can believe that the end of the world will come, and there will be a day of judgment by God, since it is written in the Bible as well. So we need to read through the Bible carefully and be aware of the promises that are to be achieved, and live a life preparing for it. As God's people, if we neglect our missions, live with greed, reject God's callings, and ignore God, God is only left with rules and regulations to judge us where there's no love or grace. Unfaithful and disobeying people cannot stop God from building His kingdom with the people who choose God and the work of bringing those back to God. Israelites might have given up on God, but God would never give up leading His people back to Him. That's why He sends prophets to tell them about the warnings and the ends that they'll face if they don't return to God. So as people who choose to follow God with faith, we need to keep and record God's promises, rules, and regulations in our hearts. We need to keep the Bible in our heart and mind to live by God's values so that we can show people and tell them that this is our God and I'm His person who can be the examples in this world. God makes promises for us and achieves it no matter what. Now we can see that the world is going more evil and it seems like a big sacrifice and a loss. For living with faith and obeying God's words. But the left people who keeps their faith all the way will see the end where God will achieve all His promises. So as His people, rather than finding a way out from one situation after the other, we should believe in God and try to see the end and find a way to eternal life. So just not escaping one situation by another. We need to see the end and what God has promised for us and just live a life preparing for it and living through God's words. Therefore, even though we all live in the same world, we should make the right and different decisions to the world and always keep in mind that evil and sin cannot coexist with God. Don't live for enjoyments, any pleasures, money, big house, expensive cars, or really expensive food that's going to come out. Don't chase something that you can't take with you after you die. Even though nowadays, like, your friends might think you're weird or the society doesn't understand you, but you should still make right decisions as the people with eternal life who are not afraid of losing anything just to be with God forever. Still, a lot of people don't know about eternal life or death and just make decisions to live through day by day. These people form and shape the cultures of our society and values that make us compare our lives constantly and think that we're losing or we're disadvantaged, which does nothing good, but it just makes us feel weak and tired. So, for example, if I was to lose weight, I would control my diet, exercise regularly, restrict myself from eating so much when I have to meet up with people, and just give up some things to achieve my goal. And we can't do what everyone else is doing, and we shouldn't be so jealous about not doing it. We are Christians, and we are the ones who could have fallen into hell, but have received eternal life and our place in heaven, by believing in God through salvation. So we have become the people who will be living in heaven in the next 70 to 80 years. So we got to really see what's worth it and think about what will God want us to do. One thing we must remember is that the eternal life doesn't start when we die. It starts right after we believe in Jesus. So during our life in this world, we can't live however we want and use God as tools to live well or live for things that we can't even take with us after we die. We must only live for the values of heaven, eyes of God in this world where we are sent to carry out our missions. So we should always remember that our life as people of heaven have started already. So we should live with the right values. However, a lot of people still don't know their identity as Christians, so they keep wanting to have more things rather than using those to carry out our missions, to pass on the words of the Bible. So why is all the material, branded clothes, expensive cars, authority, honor, power, appearance so important to us? If we don't know our identity, we will just fall into the wrong values that will just keep us happy for a short time. So it's not saying that we don't need them, but it's saying why do we compete so much for it and lose our values as God's people? We gotta know the priorities. So after we die, we can only take the things left in our heart to our eternal life. So everything God gives us now should be used as resources to make ourselves holy and approach people and share the words of the Bible. If we have a lot of money, we shouldn't just keep it. We should think about sharing it. We can't take money after we die, but we can take our nature or our character as a caring and loving person. If we have knowledge or wisdom, we shouldn't use it for our own good, but to use and share and teach people about God and His kingdom and help them prepare to live in heaven. Because at the end, we can't take any knowledge or wisdom after we die, but the knowledge and wisdom we've used to try to bring people back to God, that act will be rewarded in our eternal life. So we shouldn't spend so much money and time mending our body or appearance, which will become wrinkly anyway. Instead, we need to amend our heart and spirit to become more holy and be the person who can share despite any disadvantages. When we receive salvation through Jesus, our life as people of heaven, the God's kingdom, have started already. So despite living in a world with evil and darkness, we shall not forget that this world will end and our life with God has started so that we could prepare for heaven. So meanwhile, our life in this world, we are living in our physical bodies and can't see God with our own eyes. But after our death, our spirit and soul will be free from our bodies and we'll be able to see God and spend our life with God forever. Because we can't see it, it doesn't mean it is not there. Instead, the Bible tells us that things we can see last for a short time, but the things that we can't see last forever. It says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So does your life seem unfair and unjust? Does it seem like the greedy ones live better than the humble ones in today's world? Yes, that is true. This is the world we live in ever since our corruption. That's why it is so hard to live by God's words in this mood and atmosphere of the world. But God knows everything. He is well aware of the fact and our situation. That's why He called us as a light to lighten up the darkness in this world. In the Bible, if you read it carefully, He didn't really promise us an easy and convenient life. Living by God's words itself isn't that hard. But there's the real happiness and joy to living by God's words. But because the world is going the other way, and it's only hard because living as a Christian is going against everything the world is portraying right now. So as Christians, we must remember that a holy person believes in God and trusts Him no matter what. We need to live with faith. So let's not complain or blame God. Let's just try to live with the right faith. Don't offer loads of money to God, any church buildings, or anything else to compensate for our own sinful life that God doesn't want, just to make ourselves feel better. God already has everything, and He doesn't need any of those materials. God looks at our heart when giving offerings, something that we can take to heaven, and He looks at our caring hearts when we work and think for others. So even within our own selves, rather than the fact that we are meeting up, He looks at the heart and how we treat those precious souls within the cell and our attitude towards the cells. People often think that God always wants something from them and wants to restrict their behaviors. But these thoughts are from our greed and idolatry. God doesn't request or restrict us from anything. He gave us free will and created this world to give it to us as a gift. But because our life in this world is important in preparing our eternal life, God wanted to tell us how to live a blessed and happy life so that we could live a fair and righteous life where we are all respected as an individual. So He gave us guidelines for us to live a happy life. He loved us so much, and that's why He's giving us all of this, so that we can keep our holy life with our own will. God is asking His people, "My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me." God saved and freed His people from Egypt, gave His people reasons to live, protected His people from all the curses, and led them to the fruitful land, and gave them opportunities to live as priests of chosen nation, and keeps all His promises up until now. So He questions us why you live in such a way after knowing all of this. But He didn't ask this out of anger, but with a worry and a little bit of pity. But people even misinterpret this and question God. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oils? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Even nowadays, a lot of Christians just do the minimum that they can and think that they've done enough and they've done their job. They just want to go the easy way. But God tells them through chapter 6 verse 8, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is food, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." So God is not asking us for any religious acts or any form of action. He is just wanting us to live as God's people who have values of God and wanting to follow the guidelines and promises made by God. That's how God wants us to live our lives, utilizing what God gave us as a gift. So in chapter 6 to 7, it tells us to don't forget who God is and what He is truly like. Don't be blinded by fanciness of the world. Don't be so envious, but just keep living by God's words and be the light to the dark world. The people of South Judah were saying that they will live for God's glory, but they make up excuses and follow their greed just like the North Israelites. Then at the end, they were invaded and a lot died and sold as slaves. The prophet Micah shouted that even if we fall, we will come back and be revived. And with the prophet Micah's shout, this is how the book of Micah ends in the Bible. If we read through the book of Micah again, we will know how to live through the world, and even the Holy Spirit in us will give us wisdom to figure it out. The purpose of the book Micah was to warn both North Israelites and South Judah about the results of sticking to the sinful life and awake them from the wrong believings. When they lost their missions and callings of God, they all broke the law and walked into the corrupted pathway. Rather than respecting human rights and keeping fair and justice, we should all know the Bible and God's words properly, so we don't just follow the leaders without knowing where we're going, but so that we could differentiate good and evil ourselves, so that we are not so shifted by trends or culture. We need to meet God sincerely and live by His rules and guidelines, no matter of the situations, to be examples in today's world. So we'll end the book of Micah here, and from next week, we'll look through the book of Isaiah.